We didn't say Shavuot Tov last night, so you can say Shavuot Tov tonight. Sometimes I feel like this is crazy doing this after Tisha B'Av. Everybody's just tired. Everybody's wiped out and wants to just move on. But if it's crazy, then even more so we should do it, because we say in Breslov to fight crazy with crazy. Kampf Meshuga mit Meshuga. The world is crazy, so sometimes we have to do things that are also feel crazy. I want to, first of all, thank everyone tonight. Thank you for being here. Thank you for coming. It's a very powerful testament to the type of people that we're surrounded by here. That after a long day, after a draining day, to make time, and it's raining, when every part of the body and every part of the self is just saying, shut it down. Yeah? That's what's happening. I'm trying to work myself out of it right now. but getting together like this is so encouraging, and I know that brings nachas to Hashem. We say, Ashreichem Yisrael. I want to just learn tonight, Lilui Nishmas, and in honor of Rabbi Zil Shavach. Rabbi Zil Shavach was a machanech, was an oy of Israel, a moel, an EMT, somebody who gave his life to the Jewish people, gave his life for Habatzas HaTorah, gave his life for Yishuv Eretz Israel. He was murdered on his way home last year. Since then, every so often I have I have dreams every so often about him. I never met him in his life, but I feel very, very much that what we're doing here is something that's connected to him. Not sure exactly why. A couple months ago, our oldest daughter sent me a WhatsApp, sent me a message that they were doing a project to raise money for to build a mikveh in Chavat Gilad, where Brazil, Hashem Yikom Domo, and his family lived, where his wife and children still live. They're raising a mikveh, and her and her friends like got connected to it, and they're trying to spread awareness and trying to raise money. And sent a clip of the Shavach children singing a song in honor of their father. And I've been thinking about it since then. And I remember hearing it the first time and thinking about it. And I thought then, right away, about Tisha B'Av. And I said that if we're going to make it till Tisha B'Av, and it's still going to be whatever it's going to be, whether it's going to be a moed of simcha or a moed of concealment, either way, we're going to be makasha ourselves to that tzaddik, to that person. And okay, we're here. Hashem should help us that we're able to meet him in Tchias HaMesim soon. Rav Waxman was here for orientation and spoke about his grandfather, Zatzal, the Suval Karov, Rav David Lifshitz. Suval Karov survived the war, lost a child in the war, lost his community, his yeshiva, his shteller, and arrived on these shores bereft. When the Suvalker Gaon arrived at the docks in New York, a young Reb Shlomo Freifeld, who didn't know Reb David personally, came to greet him upon his arrival at the docks, and he was schlepping a baby carriage with a set of shas, his chasen shas, the shas that he had scrimped and saved, pruta al pruta, to be able to buy. It was his first major purchase after getting married. Took some wedding money, everything that they possibly could. This is during the war. Saved up money in order to buy a set of shas. And he schlepped that set of shas in a baby carriage to go meet the Suval Karov. Because he said, I should have a set of shas. And the Suvak L'Rav Zolnish, and this Gaon, the Suvak L'Rav, shouldn't have a set of Shas? There's an incredible insight into Rabbi Freifeld, into his sensitivity, into his perception, into his just bigness, and his way of giving. By bringing those Gemaras, by bringing that set of Shas to the Suvalka Rav, Shlomo was telling him, your world was destroyed. Your world was destroyed. The community is gone. Your family as you knew it, broken. The world that you're coming from is gone. But this hasn't changed. This Shas is the same Shas that you had in Europe, the same Gemara that you had there, you'll be able to have here. It'll still be there for you. After the Churban, where do we go? What's the construct? Like, how does it work? What do we hold on to? When we're faced with destruction, with instability, with pain, how do we move forward? How do we face the world? And on Motzei Tisha B'Av, after all of the Eicha and Kinos, and all of the inner working, as we begin to emerge from the mourning and from the ashes, where do we go? A young man walked into the Ponovitch Yeshiva in Bnei Brak. It was a beacon of hope. Ponovitch, at that time, represented, Ritz Hashem one day again will, represented an island in a world of chaos. A sea of hope that the Ponovitch Rav, with the guiding light of words from the Chafetz Chaim, based on the Navi that though the world may be destroyed, Europe will go up in flames. Bahar Tzion Tia Pleita, there'll be a remnant in Eretz Yisrael by a Kodesh, and it'll be holy. And the Ponovitch Rav and the Chazon Ish, the Ish Chazon and the Chazon Ish, reconstructed the world of Torah in Eretz Yisrael, in Bnei Brak, to build like a nuclear generator of Torah there. And the Ponovitch Yeshiva was one of those few places in Eretz Yisrael that Jews would survive the war and survive the British, Yimach Shemam, also, and their internment camps in Cyprus. And they made it to the shores of Eretz Yisrael finally. There's only a few places to go, a couple in Yerushalayim, one in Kfar Chassidim, the Beli Lopiyam, and in Bnei Brak, in Ponovitch. A young man showed up in the Ponovitch Yeshiva and asked if Rabbi Kahaneman was there. He'd heard of the Ponovitch Rav. He heard that the Ponovitch Rav was rebuilding. They introduced him, they brought him over to the Rav. This young man looked completely lost. He looked like shell-shocked, literally. Literally, that's the word. That's the way to describe shell-shocked. There's a generation that was shell-shocked. He said, "What's thy name? What's your name?" He said, "My name is Shlomo Reichenberg." He said, "Shalom Aleichem Shlomo, welcome to Ponovitch." It was a reconstructed yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael named after the destroyed city in Lita. He said, "Shlomo, where are you from?" And this young man looked at the Ponovitch and said, "I come from Auschwitz." Ponovitch Rav closed his eyes and he understood, like he was jolted back into reality for a moment. He said, "Where were you before Auschwitz?" This young man closed his eyes and he's like going back in time a little bit. Was there something before Auschwitz? Was there a world before Auschwitz? So he said, "I was from Chust, Hungary. Panav Zhurav took him by the arm and he led him into the Beis Medrash and he sat down with him. And he said, in Chust, in Hungary, you learned in yeshiva? So this young man again, like, he rolls his eyes and he said, I learned in yeshiva. And I'd like to learn in yeshiva again. As the Panav Zhurav held his hand and he said, tell me, do you remember Chust? Do you remember your life in Hungary before the war? Do you remember what it was before Auschwitz? This young man kind of said, do you have a family? Are your parents still in the world? He shook his head, no. He said, brothers, sisters? He shook his head, no. He asked him if he had any chaverim that he found after. He shook his head, no. He said, it's just me. The Panav Zhurav held his hand tightly and he said, Shlomo, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to remember to go back to Hungary. Go back to the Beis Medrash. Is there something you could remember? Where were you holding? Where were you holding? I was holding, surviving the gas chambers. That's where I was holding. Where were you holding? Where were you holding? And he squeezed the Panav Zhurav's hand very, very tight. He furrowed his brow. And for a few quiet minutes, he just sat there. When he opened his eyes, he said, I remember that we were learning Maseches Chulin before we were taken away. He said, you were learning Maseches Chulin. Do you remember where in Maseches Chulin you were learning? And again, Shlomo Reichenberg squeezed his hand and closed his eyes. And he said, I can't remember. I'm sorry. The Panav Zhurav held his hand, squeezed his hand very tightly. He said, Shlomo, go back. Do you remember where you were? And he said, I don't remember. And he held his hand tighter until Shlomo said, it was Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis. We were learning a Machlokas Rashi Tosfos and Mem Ches Amud Beis and Chulin. I remember it was Chulin Mem Ches Amud Beis. I remember. It was a Machlokas Rashi Tosfos, and he kept saying over and over again, and the Panav Zhurav started crying. And he grabbed him by the hand and schlepped him out of the Beis Medrash, and they ran outside down the hill to the home of the Chazon Ish. And it was at night, but the Panav Zhurav banged on the door. And he said, Shlomo Reichenberg from Auschwitz remembers Chulin Memches Amud Beis, a Machlokas Rashi Tosfos. And the Chazon Ish opened the door. And they sat down together and cried and cried and cried. And the Chazon Ish took off a shas from the shelf and opened up Maseches Chulin, Memches Amud Beis, and together with the Panav Zhurav and Shlomo Reichenberg, picked up and continued learning that sugya. Eitz Chaim Hilam Achazikim Ba V'Somcha Me'ushar. It is a tree of life for all of those who hold on to it. That's what Torah is. To hold on to dear life. In 1837, there was a terrible earthquake in Tzfat. Anybody who's walked through Tzfat knows about this earthquake. The majority of the city was killed. Thousands and thousands of Jews were killed. It was total devastation. It took days and days and days for the Jews who were buried alive either to stop screaming or to survive. Except for the Al-Sheikh Shul and part of the Abu Hav Shul, a wall in the Abu Hav Shul that stands there still, total decimation. There was one other shul that had a little piece of it that lasted. Anybody know? Basayim. Bavram Dov from Avrich, was a Talmud of the Berditchever. Sefer Bas Ayin, Ala Torah. He was a Chosheva of a Rebbe in Ukraine. He gave up his shteller, he gave up everything to come to Eretz Israel. He just wanted to be in Eretz Israel. He came to the Holy Land and went to Tzfas. Endured terrible poverty, Mesiras Nefesh, but he held up the community. It was right before Mincha. He was standing by the Omer in front of the shul that still stands. And he called out to everyone in the shul without warning. It's Chaim Hilam Achazikim Ba. Anyone who wants to live, run to me. He stood by the Aron. And the few lucky ones who had good instincts, who were on their game, jumped up and ran. Some say he took the talus and schlepped it over them. Others say they all held on to the Aron Kodesh, and moments later the earthquake hit. And everyone who was standing there in the front of the shul, he still stood by the floor. It's a different floor by the Aron. Survived. Literally, Torah is a tree of life for all of those who grab onto it. Our vitality. Torah refers to itself in only one way, and that's called Torat Chaim, Toras Chaim. A source of life for all of those who cleave to it. A heartbreaking song that I even asked my daughter to like take off the iPod, because if it goes around on shuffle and it lands on it, it's not from this world to listen to. Of Raziel Shevach's children singing the words of the Or Chaim HaKadosh. Torah tells us, V'samachta b'chol hatov. Part of what Hashem wants for us is to rejoice in all of the good in the world. Hashem is a loving father, a loving parent, a creator, a nivra, a borei who wants from the nivra to just enjoy, like the Mesillas Yesharim tells us, to enjoy the deepest and highest ta'anugim of this world. Samachta b'chol atov, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, the words of David HaMelech, Tov Hashem. Hashem is called good, Tov. Tov connotes a complete unit, something which is whole, one. Matza Isha, Matza Tov. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Ve'ein Ze El HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shum Makor HaTov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called the source of all good. And what does it mean, V'samachta B'chol HaTov? Says the Gemara in Brachos, Ein Tov El HaTorah. The Torah represents and manifests all the good in the world. Shimayu b'nei adam margishin b'mesikos v'arevos tov haTorah. Because if we would really sense, if we would be healthy, if we would be healthy and be able to taste and feel in a redeemed way, not junk food, but if we were able to taste something healthy and good, vital, sustainable, if we were able to sense b'mesikos v'arevos tov haTorah, in the sweetness and the good of the Torah, hayu mishtagim u'meslahatim achareah, we would be crazy over it. We would be nuts over it. If only we knew what it was. L'yichashid b'neim aloha olam kesef ezav l'ma'uma. And all of the wealth and distraction and money and success of the world, the way the world defines it, wouldn't mean a thing next to it. Ki haTorah koleles kol haTovos shebaOlam. This niggun, that in our generation we're zochet to this niggun from Avila Palay, many others have covered it and sing it. You know, our daughter started singing it in the house because of the Shevach children. That's where they learned it. How do you survive the loss of a father? How does one even begin to wake up in the morning, open their eyes? Or as the Paitan explains and describes so beautifully, There are times where the world is so chaotic, and whether it's from loss or just from bilbulim, just the day-to-day life of trying to figure out where we are, and we don't even remember who we are and what we're doing in the world. Tamidi ba'av ha'ir lipanim. The Torah will always be there to be meir panim to us, to welcome us back. Because the Torah is kolelas kol hatovos shebaolam. And if we just had an idea of it, if we had an idea, we would run and run and run and yearn and want and go after it and after it and after it. Yerushalmi in Chagiga says something wild. Yerushalmi says, "Viter Kodesh Baruch Hu over Zora, Gilei Arayos v'Shvichas Damim." We have many statements in the Torah about what's better, what's worse. Mitzvahs are good, averos are bad. And the Gemara and the Agarta draws out different lessons and sometimes compares and contrasts. But a Kodesh Baruch Hu is mevater on murder. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mevater, the language that the Talmud uses. Hashem is mevater. Hashem lets it go. And let Shvichas Damim go, and Avodah Zarah go, idolatry. And let Niyuf go. V'lo viter al avon bitul Torah. But it's not mevater on bitul Torah. Hashem is mevater on murder, on Avodah Zarah, and on being unfaithful, God forbid, to the most sacred union. But Hashem is not mevater on bittul Torah. There's no such thing as having there's no rabbit hole on YouTube, an 80s WWF fest, or some good music from the mid 90s mashu. Hashem is not mevater on that. Rabbi Freifeld asked in a famous shmuz, what? Like, you can kill somebody, God forbid. Destroy a home. Turn one's back theologically on the Ribono Shel Olam and deny the oneness of God. And Hashem says, okay, I'll be mevater. But on bittul Torah, Hashem is not mevater? My Freifeld explains, it's true, yeah, people, there's such a thing as mistakes in the world. There are mistakes, and they're horrific mistakes. There are mistakes that, kanireh, in this world, one can't even fix. But bittul Torah dooms us to a life of darkness. Bittul Torah closes those gates of believing that we can fix. Without thinking, without learning, without cleaving to a source of life, we've doomed ourselves to an eternity of darkness. That's what the Medrash says. Halavai osi ozvu. If only they would have left me. Forget about me. V'torah si shamru, just stay with my Torah. Okay, what does that even mean? Leave me? What good is Torah without it being connected to Makor HaChayim, to Hashem Himself? Say Chazal, mitoch shayu mas'askim ba, because dealing with the Torah and learning it and connecting with it and holding on to it, hama'or shaba machzir lamutav. There's an embedded light in the Torah, in the words of Torah. In Torah Shebal Peh, in Torah Shebichtav, in Mishnah, in Gemara, in Halacha, in works of Musar and Chassidus, in Chumash Rashi, in Hilchot Shabbos. Torah is light. It comes kol hatovos shebaolam. Everything is there embedded in it. As the Paitani Shairibo says, Yaderech v'ya osher. It's the pathway itself. It itself is osher. I'll just say a good word. Sruli Besser's biography of Reblazer Geldzahler saved me from incredible bittul Torah in my life. If not for that book, if not for those stories about Reblazer, I don't know what, I mean, I know what my avos haim looks like now. It's not always so pretty. But if not for that book, if not for those stories, if not for that insight into that giant of a human being, immense bittul Torah. Reb Elazar would tell his Talmidim, maybe this resonates. You ever go to, shouldn't have to go. We go to Shiva House, you have the Mishnayos sign up there. Or you walk into Beis Medrash, you have a few minutes. You have a couple minutes there and lots of Svarim on the shelf. What's the last thing that you want to see open on those lines? Huh? Yeah. Yadayim. Anything in Kodshim, anything in Taros. I mean, the last thing that's getting picked up in between and Chamarev. If not for Daf Yomi, I mean, Rav Lazar would tell his Talmidim, don't be afraid of Kodshim and Taros. Don't be afraid. He didn't say lean into it, but Kol HaTovah Shebe'olam are there. It's difficult, it's obtuse, it seems a little bit far away from where you are, you don't feel like practically right at this moment it's opening you up and connecting to you. That's where you're going to find the Tova Genuza. In his hesped for a blazer who was nifter 14 years ago, in a camp right near here. This is a Rosh Yeshiva, Baal Avoda, an awesome human being. In his hesped for a blazer, Rabbi Eliezer Wachtvogel lives down the block in Fallsburg. Rabbi Eliezer was masvid him and said, Rabbi Eliezer is the meshugner, he's the crazy one. He's Gevein the Meshugner, the crazy one that the Or HaChaim HaKadosh is talking about. Mislatu Mishtagin, that we would go crazy like a madman running after Torah if only we knew how beautiful it was, how deep it was. Blazer said, once commented, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his infinite wisdom and kindness, was already setting up the Refua Kodem Lamaka on Tisha B'Av. That right after Tisha B'Av comes Nachmu, and we're wondering, like, what changes? Like, what is different? Okay, it's like now it's 8:55, so now I can put on shoes. Okay, it's 1:42, so now I can sit on a chair. But what changed? Veschanan, we open up the Torah, Kedosha, Shabbos by Mincha. We get a glimpse into the world after Churban, and we read of the Aseres HaDibros. Why is there another revelation? We had it already in Parshas Yisro. Why the repetition of the Decalogue? Why the emphasis again on this moment in history? Seems a little bit out of place even. In the midst of the yearning for Moshe Rabbeinu to go into Eretz Yisrael, boom, again, as the Aseres HaDibros. Because the Blazer says we might feel like we lost everything. We might feel that the world has fallen apart. That the life was taken out of us. That the wind got knocked out of us. It's not true. Everything that we received at Har Sinai is still there. And after Tisha B'Av, we come to Veschanan. We grab onto those luchos again. That after Tisha B'Av, the Torah is still here. Torah is still alive. Malkav Sarea Bagoyim, a royalty, a pride of the Jewish people, are enslaved among the nations. Ein Torah. Churban is described, like we read last night. Ein Torah. Bitterness of exile is expressed in our lack of connection to Torah. Zechor ani umarudi, remember my afflictions and my sorrow. Zechor tizkor v'tashuach alai nafshi, my soul remembers well. That makes me despondent, mityaesh, from all these afflictions and sorrow. Yet zos ashiv alibi. This is what I'll tell myself. Al kein ochil, therefore I still have hope. This is where in Eicha things start to change a little bit. Chazdei Hashem kilo samnu kilo chal rachamav. There's a remarkable transition. In the midst of it all, there's a glimmer of hope right in the middle of Eicha there, in the third perek. Zos Hashiva libi al kein ochil. There's still hope. Says the Medrash Rabbah, the Ovdei Kochavim, the Goyim, are mocking us, taunting us, moaning al Yisrael v'omrim lahem. They're berating us and taunting us and saying, Eloheichem histir panav mikem. Your God has hidden His face from you. V'silek shchinasol mikem. And has removed His divine presence from you. Od eino chozer aleichem. Time for a new testament. He's not coming back to you. It's over. V'hein bochen u'misanchen. We cried and moaned. V'keivan shenichnasan levate kneseos levate midrashos v'korim b'torah. And when we went into our shtiblach, into our shuls, into our batei medrash, and we read the pasuk, Ufanisi aleichem, Hashem says, I'll turn to you, v'efresi eschem, and you'll be multiplied. V'nasati mishkani besochechem, and I'll dwell among you. V'salachti besochechem, and I'm going to walk with you. When we read those words of Torah, in the midst of the Tochacha, Hein Misnachmin. We had a Nechama. Lamachar, because tomorrow, Kishiyavo Ketza Geula, the Mashiach will come, Omer Lamakadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Hashem will tell us, Banai, my children, Tamemike, I'm blown away by you, I don't get it. I'm in total shock. Tameimikem. Hey, how is it possible? Himtantim likol osam ashanim. How did you wait for me all these years? How did you make it? Vein omim lefanav. The Medrash tells us the Klal Yisrael responds, Ribono shel olam. Ilulei torascha shenasat alanu, kvar ibdunu ha'omos. If not for the Torah that you gave us, we would have been gone, washed away, completely obliterated among the nations. L'kach nemar zos ashiva libi. That's what it means. And Yirmiyahu says, zos ashiva libi. This, I'll respond in my heart. This I'll say to myself. Ve'in zos el Torah. As we say, ve'zos ha-Torah asher sa Moshe. And as David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Lulei Torascha Sha'ashuai, if your Torah, if not for your Torah, my joyful preoccupation, Az Avarati Ba'ani, I would have been lost in my sorrow. Al Kein Ochil Lo, therefore we were able to continue to yearn for you, to wait for you, Hashem. Without Torah, we're lost. One of the most poignant memories that Elie Wiesel writes in his final diary called Open Heart, when he's facing death again, about to be rolled into surgery, and the doctor tells him, you know, he's 82 years old, he was having open heart surgery. He tells him, like, you know, be careful, there's a lot in my heart. He was being wheeled into open heart surgery. And the doctor says, count down to, from 10. And he says, no, wait, wait. He wanted a chance to say vidui. He wanted a chance to say shema. He says, if I'm going to meet my creator. And they say, looked at him and said, no, you'll be fine. It's a surgery. We have good doctors here. Whatever. He said he imagined the visage of his father and grandfather learning Torah. And he said to the doctor, give me a moment. Al kein ochilo miyachdim shmoshtei pa'amim b'yom v'omrim. And he closed his eyes and said, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. And then began to count down from 10. When he awoke from his surgery, he shared with his wife and his friend who were there that he went at peace. Because in those moments that were maybe going to be his final moments, he thought of his father and his grandfather holding on to Torah and had the merit of saying, Shema Yisrael, Havai Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Aving Miyached Shem Hashem. And Elie Wiesel's beautiful work on the Hasidic Masters, where his real inner world, his true self, comes out. This is the first time that I learned this mashal. I've since seen it inside. Oh, but this is also seeing it inside. I wanted to say this, Lilui Nishmaso. The mashal that's brought from Rabbeinu Rav Nachman, of a prince who was forced to leave his father's palace. Months went by, even years. He became homesick and restless. Exile was weighing heavily on him. He was losing ground, changing, closing himself to hope. Then one day a messenger brought him a letter from his father, which only made his pain more acute, for it reminded him of his home and what he had lost. He would have given anything to see his father again, to embrace him or to touch a fringe of his royal robes. He was crying soundlessly when suddenly he pulled himself together. The thought had come to him that he needed not be sad and sorry for himself. Didn't he have a precious, unique letter in his hand? For the handwriting of the king reflects the will of the king, and therefore is the king. For the handwriting of the king reflects the will of the king, and therefore is the king. Smiling, the exiled prince began to kiss the letter. It was a link to his royal past and a proof that his father was alive. That this letter was written and sent meant that the king was king, and that the prince, though in exile, was still a prince. The mashal that's brought in the Ksavim of Rabbeinu is clear enough. To bear exile, Klal Yisrael must console itself by and in the Torah. It must retain a strong hold on the letter and the will of God. Ad shenifgashnu ani va'at, hayti tzarich et ha-ke'ev kidei l'rega lehitkarev. Hayom ani itach v'ani yodea kama omek yesh b'li gvul b'nechama. When a Jew opens their heart to the Torah, when we run like a meshuggah who's out of their mind because what we've gone through personally and as a nation, every one of us, it doesn't make sense. It's shigaon. When we run to the Torah and we grab hold of it and we learn Torah, if we believe that every line of Torah Kedosha is the handwriting of the king and reflects the will of the king and therefore is the king, then we can remember that we are the children of that king. And then even though we find ourselves far away in exile, and even though we find ourselves sometimes far away within that exile, then there's hope. A number of years ago in Yerushalayim, there was a young man who was learning in the Mir Yeshiva. We went with a group of friends to the north. He got separated from the group. He was kind of lost on this tiul, and it was very unlike him because he's a very, you know, a very non-adventurous person. But whatever happened there, I don't know exactly the details. But he went missing. And there were a couple of days that a ben Taur, that a ben yeshiva, was missing. And there was tehillim, and davening, and davening, and davening. And when Rachmana Litzlan, he was found, it was a real shivron lev. It was a real heartbreak. After the Levaya, which really united so many different B'nai Yeshiva and Yerushalayim, it was a very specific community that emerged. That day after the Levaya, it was a Friday morning, and Rav Nosson Tzvi Zatzal used to give a parsha shiur on Friday mornings. I went to that shiur a few times. And with great mysterious nefesh, he would come and say Torah because his body was racked with pain and discomfort because of the Parkinson's. But that week was a different week. It was packed. Packed, packed. The chevra were broken. They had lost one of the Bnei HaChabura. They came into Nosson Tzvi's room there, packed in, and he sat there with the chumash. He always had a chumash open in front of him. He sat there with the chumash closed. And he started to cry. And then it didn't take, it was just like that, the entire room. Everyone cried with him. Just one big gathering of heartbreak and sadness and loss. And after a couple of minutes, Rav Nosson Tzvi collected himself and looked around the room and just said one line. V'ein shiur rak haTorah hazos. All that remains is the Torah. And he said in Yiddish, everyone just go back to the Beis Medrash and learn. Zos nechemasi ba'ani, David HaMelech says. Zos! This is my consolation. In my affliction, Zos, there's only one thing which we can hold on to. Kimrus imrosecha chaysani. Zacharti mishpatecha me'olam Hashem ve'esnacham. It's all those one after the other in Kuf Yud Tes, all the Psukim of Zion. Zacharti b'layla shimcha Hashem ve'eshmara terasecha. At night, I remembered your name. I kept your Torah. Those words that Rav Nosson Tzvi cried out, the words from Slichos, the context of that is that Ha'ir HaKodesh v'Machozos, the holy city, and all of our strongholds, Hayu L'Cherpa, were degraded. They were crushed. V'Komach Madea Tavuos V'Gnuzos, and all of our charm, all of our treasures, were lost and buried. V'Ein Shiur Rak HaTorah Hazos. Survival, life, strength. Kihem Chayenu V'Orach Yameinu. Learning Torah on Motzei Tisha B'Av. Oraisa, Oraisa, Mai Malagabach. What can we say? Torah is where we meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu before, during, and after the Churban. The song remains the same. Eitz Chaim Hi L'Machazikim Ba. Gemara Brachas tells us, Miyam Shachar of Beis HaMikdash Ein Lo L'Kadosh Baruch Hu Ba'olamo Ela Arba Amos Shel Halacha Bilvad. That from the time of the destruction, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a place in the world. Hashem, so to speak, is exiled from the world. Hashem is Mamali Kol Almin Masaviv Kol Almin V'les Asar Panu Yiminei. There is no world. The world is God. But in some sense, one manifestation, one Gilui of Hashem, One way that Hashem acts in the world has been exile. And Hashem only has a place called Arba Amos Shel Halacha. Arba Amos in Halacha literally means a person's place. Where there is Halacha, where there is Shmiras HaMitzvos, that's where Hashem is in that place. Asks the Noda B'Yehuda in his Shabbos Shuvah Drasha, in the Drush HaTzlach, why so mitzumtzam? I think when I shared this on YU, I said, like, why not get the upgrade to Economy Plus? Why just sit with the Arba Amos? Why? Like, no. Take Arba Plus, you know, Tefach Socheik, open it up a little bit. Expansiveness, Hashem Svasa, I think, just open up something. Like the mashal that the Rebbe Melech brings, Vakadosh Baruch Hu, the Shechinta Begalusa, Hashem exiled from his palace, wandering around through the countryside looking for a place to hide, a place to be welcomed into. The peasant opens up his door and welcomes Hashem, so to speak. That's what it means. Shechinta Begalusa. There's an accessibility that the Melech has, not just Basada in the field where everyone goes out to greet him. But Hashem, so to speak, is driven from his home looking for a place to hide. We can open up our homes and our hearts and our Dalet Amos to Hashem Yisbarach. Says the Noda B'Yehuda Rabbi Cheska Landau, when we learn Torah, we are that villager. We are that peasant on the countryside that opens our door, our humble home for the king, who has been exiled from his palace. Lahamtzi makam manoach l'shechina. Lahamtzi makam manoach, a place of resting for the Shechina. That means that since the destruction of the temple, the world is in chaos and turmoil. And Hashem Keviachal is too. All of creation is upset. And Hashem, we open up our door, we welcome the Ribbono Shel Olam in. We've offered a makom manoach, a place of resting for Hashem Yisbarach. Mi shemekadesh b'limudo makom l'shechina. Someone who purposefully and intentionally sets aside in their learning a makom l'shechina, a place for Hashem. Sham timtza manoach rav v'atzum. We'll find there menuchas hanefesh, peace. V'im ha-makom dachuk v'katan. And if that place that we're able to open up for Hashem is pulling out little mishnayos from our pocket and learning a line, or two lines of chumash before we conk out on the table, or a book in Jewish history, opening up an Oscha Vakesh, my soul desire, or opening up a biography of Rav Moshe Feinstein, or Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, or Shraga Feivel Mendelevich, or opening up a holy brother for a moment before we're distracted and we go back to our phone. Imam Makom Dachuk Bekatan, even if that space that we create for Hashem is small, that moment, Hashem is the only place that Hashem has in the world. That moment that I open up a sefer, doesn't matter what else is happening, what everyone else is doing. That moment when I take time and space out of my life in Torah, that is the Dalet Amos that Hashem has in the world, Bilvad. Ve'ata, now simu alev, take to heart, eich biyadchem hadavar lahazmin ashchina etzlechem. Says the Noda B'Yehuda, take to heart. It's not a chassid. Take to heart the opportunity that we have to invite the Shechina to be with us. V'im tilmadu l'kavana zo, and if we learn with this kavana, kama rav zcharchem. Asher i efshar l'shayer klal, we can't even begin to imagine how great it is, the awesome level that we've reached, if we intentionally open ourselves through our learning Lahamtzi mokam manoach l'shchina. Vim katan adavar be'enav. And if it's not a big deal, if we think it's not a big deal, I only learned for a minute, for 2 minutes. What did I do? I didn't finish my mikra. I fell behind in daf yomi. I started. I didn't work. I tried. I didn't go. Im katan adavar be'enav. If we think that it's not a big deal, davar gadol hu be'enei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Davar gadol hu be'enei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Hashem has been given a place in the world. Because Hashem wants to hold on to us too. I mentioned it this morning, but it comes to my head now and I have to share it. 10 years ago, Nasar Haruge Malchus of Merkaz Arav, not in the course of a generation, but in a matter of moments, two of the Kedoshim, Segev Pniel Avichayel, Hashem Yikom Domo, and Avram David Moses, Hashem Yikom Domo, Rechavrusas, they learned together. If we start talking about their greatness and what they achieved in their young lives, Segev Pniel came to his father in 11th grade and he said, "And I'd like to drop some of my classes, some of my Lumudei Chol." And his father, Rabbi Yashiv Avichayel, said to him, "Why? Is it distracting you? Is it taking away from your learning?" So he said, "No. When I'm learning in the Beis Medrash, I don't think about any of my classes. I don't think about anything else that I have to do. Just if I didn't have to take these classes for the pre-Bagriyot, for the Bagriyot preparation, I'd have more time for learning." So his father was a Talmud Chacham. His grandfather was a Talmud Chacham. 3 generations of Talmidim who learned in Merkaz Arav. Father said to him, "It's very admirable, it's very noble." He said, "Stick with your classes. It's not Bittul Torah. Study when you're supposed to study. And learn when you're supposed to learn. And at the end of your learning Seder, when you're done, and you're about to move on to whatever's coming next, learn 5 more minutes. Just learn 5 more minutes." And that's what they did. They would learn Torah, and at the end of their Seder, they would close the Sfarim, and Segev Pniel Avichayel would look at Avram David Moses and say, "Od chamesh dakot." And they would learn 5 more minutes. And his father said, "That's your Mesiras Nefesh." Because creating those 5 minutes, those 2 minutes, that one Mishnah, that little bit of Torah, is creating a makom manoach l'shchina. It's holding on to Hashem, and Hashem holding on to us. The Kloisenberger Rebbe came out of the war, having lost his wife and 11 children. He got straight to work in the DP camps. These DP camps were places of absolute misery, of hunger, typhus, suffering, with terrible conditions and squalor. The story they say about the Kloisenberger Rebbe was a real thing. Lieutenant Birnbaum says it, others, is that General Eisenhower came to visit the camp and wanted to meet the Kloisenberger Rebbe. So they brought him to meet the Kloisenberger, one of the leaders of the camp, one of the leaders of the Jews. And the Rebbe was already in davening. He was wearing his tallis tefillah in the middle of davening. He didn't stop davening. He didn't interrupt. When Eisenhower met him afterwards, he said, you know, they said, you know, the Rebbe was davening. So he said, "We have a tradition to show respect to the leaders, the generals, and the kings of the nations." He said, "But I was speaking with the general of generals. I was speaking with the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I was speaking to the King of Kings. I'm sorry I wasn't able to interrupt." Eisenhower had tremendous respect for him. And he said, "I would like to try to make the conditions better for the Jews here and do something for you. What can I do for you?" And the Kloisenberger was right before, it was right to Yom Narayim time. The Kloisenberger Rebbe asked for Arba Minim. That's just without even thinking. have clothing, food, this, that. The Kolishmer all day was busy. All day was busy putting people together, making marriages. Taking care of Yisomim, and Yisomim was just bringing them together, getting them married. He had the weight of the universe on his shoulders, and he asked for Arba Minim, and he asked for a Shas. And it was that, as well as the intervention of other chaplains, each one B'Kvod HaMunach, that led to the United States government printing a set of Shas. The 19 volumes of Shas that's called the Survivor's Talmud. It's an extraordinary thing. There are only a few copies in the world. But the United States government in Munich, Heidelberg, in 1948, only a couple of years after liberation, literally printed a Shisha Sidre Mishnah Shas, Gemara Bavli. And inside of it, in the Hakdasha, the page says that this special edition of the Talmud is published in the very land where but a short time ago, everything Jewish and of Jewish inspiration was an anathema. This Talmud will remain a symbol of the indestructibility of Torah. The cover page depicts a concentration camp on the bottom with barbed wire and a sketch of Eretz Yisrael on top. I was zocheh to learn a few lines out of Survivor's Talmud. And Dan Wurzberger has a set of Shas. That's a Survivor's Talmud, obviously. That's his Gemara. Published in Heidelberg. On the bottom of the page that I have here, you can pass it around afterwards, it says, Kimat Kiluni Ba'aretz. We were just about almost destroyed. Vani Lo'azavti Pikudecha. But I haven't left your Torah. Meshibu l'geula, me'afela l'or gadol. You just see, it's an extraordinary thing. I'll pass it around. This Jew, Rav Moshe Weiss, I have a picture of him here. This Jew, Rav Moshe Weiss, was a Hungarian bacher. He was born in Salish. Maisa b'Salish. Shavuos in 1944, when he was 18 years old, he arrived in Auschwitz. The next day, the Shefach Chaim of Kloisenberg Rebbe, was brought to the camp. An incredible person. He got there, and right away, Mr. Moshe Weiss got busy trying to figure out how he was going to find the Kloisenberg Rebbe. He was a Hungarian bacher. He was not a Kloisenberger chassid, but he heard that there was a tzaddik. The Kloisenberger Rebbe was in the camps. And he started making deals, trading his bread. And assumed a different persona, traded names with someone, to be able to move barracks against all odds, to be able to be in the presence of the Kloisenberger Rebbe. Amazing story how he risked his life to assume a different identity. The Germans would have found it, would have been killed on the spot. But that's the Mesiras Nefesh, to be close to a tzaddik. And he came to the barracks of the Kloisenberger Rebbe, he introduced himself. The Kloisenberger Rebbe, said Shalom Aleichem. He explained to him what he did to be able to get close to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe said, "What is it that you think that I could do for you? I mean, what is it that you think here in Auschwitz I can help you with?" And this 18-year-old Hungarian bacher said, "We could talk in learning. I want to learn Torah." The Kloisenberger looked at him and said, "I mean, the smokestacks, Auschwitz." He said, "That's what's on your mind right now?" And this young man, Rav Moshe Weiss, said, "If not here, where? And if not now, when?" And for the rest of their lives, Rav Moshe Weiss and the Kloisenberger Rebbe were inseparable. See, as much as holding on to Torah keeps us alive, holding on to Torah also keeps the Ribono Shel Olam alive in the world. As much as this Reb Moshe, this Chassid needed his Rebbe, in the transmission of Torah, the Rebbe also needs a Talmud. The relationship that ended up spanning more than half a century began there in Auschwitz. They both survived. And immediately after the war, they got busy right away taking care of the Sheiros HaPleita. He became a successful businessman, arranging papers, building Kiryat Sanz and Netanya. The Samosha Weiss was busy and involved in setting up Lanyado Hospital. He moved to America, was busy setting up and building Union City. He became the Menahel of the yeshiva. He was an incredible Talmud Chacham. Came back to Eretz Yisrael, became a Chavrusa of the Vision Tzareba. They were learning Ketzos together once a week. He was an awesome Talmud Chacham. When he was living here in the United States, Reb Moshe Feinstein Zatzal asked him to move up here, to this neighborhood, to Liberty, New York, to become the Mor de Asra here in Liberty. He said, what am I going to do in Liberty, New York? He said, it snows there half the year. He'll be able to stay inside and learn Torah. He could become the next Gadol Hador. That was the way he saw his trajectory. But instead, Reb Moshe Weiss deferred, and he stuck with the Kleisenberger Rebbe and committed himself to building Torah and spreading Torah with that tzaddik. Perhaps most remarkable about the life of this Reb Moshe Weiss Zatzal was a moment that he pointed to as the turning point in his life in the DP camps when he was with the Rebbe. Beyond all the weddings, they were literally digging mikvahs. They started digging mikvahs in the DP camps. Beyond building mikvahs and the seasonal mitzvahs, the Arba Minim, they even set up a kosher shlachtos. They went and were bartering and getting animals from the locals in order to shech to have kosher meat to eat on Yontif. Beyond that, meis mitzvah called karov. They engaged and became the Chever Kadisha for thousands and thousands of Jewish bodies. The Kleisenberger Rebbe spent day and night bringing people together, rebuilding, and at the same time going through incredible effort to be able to bring Jews' corpses to Kfuras Yisrael. Twisted bodies of Jews, the Germans just left, they ran, they fled. In the gas chambers and by the crematoria, broken bodies, literally, of dead Jews, braving typhus, sickness. These two men, the Kleisenberger Rebbe and his Talmud, Reb Moshe Weiss, were a two-man Chever Kadisha. And there was one moment that it just became too much. And keep in mind, he was 18 years old, this is a young man. It just became too much. At the time, he was probably close to 20. It was too heartbreaking, and it was too dark. And he felt like he was going to faint. And he turned to the Kleisenberger Rebbe and he said, Rebbe, I can't do it anymore. It was too much death. The Kleisenberger Rebbe looked at him and said, my entire Moshe, my dear Moshe, what is it that you want? Whatever it is, just tell me. He literally gave him the genie lamp. And Reb Moshe Weiss started to cry. Who knows what he thought about his life leading up to that point, his family who was gone, his entire reality that was crushed. What is it, Moshe, that you want? And this Moshe Weiss cried and said to the Kleisenberger Rebbe, I want my sons to be Talmidei Chachamim. I want to have children. I want sons that will know every single Tosfos and Shas. And when Reb Moshe Weiss was nifter last year, after 70 years of marriage, seven sons that are called the Sheva Kanei HaMenorah. Each one of them, and I've based in a Rosh Kollel, a Rosh Yeshiva, in Union City, in Kiryat Sanz, in Montreal, in London, in Yerushalayim, including in Ramot, Rav Asher Weiss, the Minchas Asher. The bracha of the Shefa Chaim was fulfilled. Seven sons who know every single Tosfos and Shas. Because in the face of unbearable pain and death, All he wanted was Torah. That's what it means. Al tikra banayich ela bonayich. Shalom rav lo aveso asecha. The world is rebuilt, is comforted, is stabilized, illuminated, and sustained only through Torah. After the churban, the only way to rebuild ourselves, the only way to rebuild Klal Yisrael, there's only one place to go. It's the Dalet Amos of Halacha. To create a Makom Manoach L'Shechina. I'm speaking with my daughter, both of our two oldest daughters, in the last moments of Tisha B'Av, right before Maariv. My daughter, we were talking about an article that Yedidya Meir wrote about one of my daughter's friends, the Alpert family that lives in Yad Binyamin. He's connected. Rabbi Yonasan, Rabbi Eitan, his name is Rabbi Eitan, is connected to this yeshiva Torah HaChaim that the Ferret goes to. And Ayala saw the article and showed it. We were talking about it. This week is their son's bar mitzvah. Turns 13 this week. And they're making a celebration, a bar mitzvah celebration in Yad Binyamin. And what makes that extraordinary is that their son was the last child that was born in Gush Katif. That Rebbetzin Alpert went into labor Tisha B'Av during the week of the expulsion. The last time she saw her home was in the back of an ambulance looking out the window as they drove away, literally in the birth pangs of Mashiach. Kamo Isha B'tzireha. And their home was destroyed. Their community was destroyed. And he describes what it was like. They had a gathering in his house. They had a chug in their house. And he was talking about this year to our kids, about what it was like. And he describes it beautifully in this letter. What it was like being in the hospital. Just having had a child. The banality of day to day in the hospital. Where's your let at number 3? What room is she in? And he called his friend, his chavrusa, who he learned with in Kolel, Torah Tachaim in Veda Kalim, which was expelled and transferred to Yad Binyamin now. He called them and to see what they're up to. And they said they're carrying the Rav out. They're carrying Rav Tal out now. Rav Shmuel Tal. They're carrying Rav Tal out of the shul. He said, we had to leave. I couldn't watch it. And he's in the hospital with this split screen, Mazel Tov, Simcha going on. And he said, like, his son, for the rest of his life, is wrapped up in this story. 13 years since the Girush, and this week is his bar mitzvah. And they're celebrating it in the yeshiva in Yad Binyamin that was rebuilt. The same way that the yeshiva is still called Torat HaChaim, Neve de Kalim, that's what it's called in Yad Binyamin. The yeshiva is called Panovich, and it's called Tells. That's what we do. When we hold on to Torah, we're able to recognize ourselves and maintain our name, maintain our identity. Wherever we find ourselves, Zos Nechamasi Ba'ani Kimrischa Chayeni. Kimrasecha Chayeni. Zos Nechamasi Ba'ani. This is my consolation and my affliction. Because whatever happens in life, wherever we find ourselves, the Shas is the same Shas, here or there. Yiratzon Shibana Beis HaMikdash B'mheira B'yameinu V'sein Chalkeinu B'sarasecha. Should be that We're zochah to learn Torah's Eretz Yisrael. There's no Torah like the Torah of Eretz Yisrael. And everything that we're learning and doing on the way is Tzion Ederech. But we should hold on tight. We should hold on tight and fight Meshuggah with Meshuggah. Kamp Meshuggah mit Meshuggah. And run after the Torah like Meshuggahim. Not to be Mavatal Torah for a moment, to be connected to Torah all the time. Even if it means just holding it in our hand or in our pocket. Asher Misha Bava Talmud Abiyado, even if we're just holding it. To surround ourselves with Svarim. To yearn after it, to want after it. V'heirava kadamach, like we say when we open up the Aron, then it shouldn't be that we have to run there because of an earthquake, but it should be in good times, in times of revealed good, that we run to the Aron, siftach libay baraisa, and our heart should be open to the Torah, to make a makam manach for the Shechina. V'sashlim yishalim d'libayi, and all of the desires of our heart and all of the requests that we have should be answered for good. V'liba d'chol amach Yisrael, and that of all of Klal Yisrael together, l'tav, l'chaim, v'lishlam.
Shas.